We must treat like cases alike. There is not one rule for friends and another for foes, one rule for the powerful and another for the powerless, one rule for the rich and another for the poor, one rule for Democrats and another for Republicans, or different rules depending on one's race or ethnicity. To the contrary, we have only one rule. We follow the facts and apply the law in a way that respects the Constitution and protects civil liberties.
When has he ever done that? I mean, do I have to sit here and waste my time and your time this morning going over this evil little elf's, you know, dissertation about how he doesn't do all the stuff that we see him doing blatantly out in broad daylight?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I don't have the temperament for that this morning. I got allergies. It's going to get hot again in Texas. It's spooky season and it's 90 degrees out. So Katie, bar the door. I don't want to have to sit here and deal with this damn Gelfling lying to us about, well, we don't do any of this stuff. You know, half of the reason why we're all in a bad mood is because of these absolute harlots in D.C. Because they're not running government the way that it ought to be run. And I don't know about you, but I mean, I'm in a bad mood because of it today. All of it. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash with you. We got a lot to unpack here because we got polling to get in. You know the drill. Good God. And if you're listening to the show, guess what? You're listening to it. I don't know how, but you are. Channel 347 DirecTV. Maybe you're on Rumble. Maybe you're on where the chat is. Maybe you're also on X. I don't really want to say anything about YouTube because YouTube can go pound sand. I hate YouTube. I hate YouTube to death. Blank YouTube. Blankety blank all the blankers at YouTube. You know why? Because every time we do anything, we get in trouble for something.
Yeah.
If you blink the wrong way, you get in trouble on YouTube. And I'm just so tired of it. Every day we get a notice. Every damn day. So I'm a little aggravated about that. But Merrick Garland here, and this is just some of the latest. They keep acting like this is, you know, any kind of respectable, I don't know, any kind of respectable department, business, goings on. And that in an election season, you must take them seriously, you know. You have to take them seriously because they are not going to compromise the integrity of the office and so on and so forth, except when they do. Except when they do. I mean, gosh, we've been seeing this. We saw it out in the open since 2016 with Trump and the attempt to undermine a free and fair election. I mean, we saw it just as plain as day. And so this idea that this isn't happening, I don't think that. This just makes you not trust government more. When they tell you they're not doing the stuff that you see them doing, it just makes you distrust them even more. I mean, case in point, everything with, like, for instance, the J6 stuff. I mean, you knew that, like, coming up at the debate the other night, and you had one of the presidential candidates saying, oh my gosh, it was the great, here on the eve, for crying out loud, on the eve of 9/11, you have one of the presidential candidates saying that it was the worst attack, what was it, the worst attack or assault on democracy
since the Civil War,
you know, since the Civil War. Let's just, you know, forget about 9/11, which we just observed the 23rd anniversary of yesterday. Just forget about all of that. This was the worst, guys. This was the worst. And it's that kind of stuff. And the way that has been prosecuted by the government, the way that people have been targeted has been abysmal. Like, you have people in jail still on, I mean, some of the charges are just ridiculous. I've said what I've said about the riots, and I'm not going to say another damn thing about it. I'm not going to pay the indulgence of having to condemn the riot every single time I bring up an issue related to this. I'm done with it. I'm not saying another damn thing about it, about the riot aspect of it. We were on air. You can go back and listen to this. Listen to the simulcast. And I don't make any apologies for newbies that didn't do their due diligence before tuning in either. We're just in that kind of a mood, Kane. I just don't like this guy. I don't like Merrick Garland because he is a little bitch. I don't like him because of that. You know, I'm not apologizing for this either. If you have a weak constitution, or if you think that I'm supposed to be Big Bird and I'm going to entertain you with, give me that Christian side hug, you know, it's not going to happen. All right. It's not going to happen today. It's not going to happen with this, because there are some people for whom language is not strong enough. And I am doing the best I can by only going that far. The reason I don't like him is because he kind of kick-started all of the criticism and the hate and the pushback for Democrats against SCOTUS because they didn't just give him the seat. Democrats thought, well, we should be able to demand whatever we want. He should be, we want him on the Supreme Court. Doesn't work that way. So I'm, can you tell I don't like this guy? I really don't like him, Kane. I could probably go for quite some time discussing my dislike of Merrick Garland. I do think that he expedited this attack on the Supreme Court. And I think he also helped foment the major distrust in our departments by everyday people. Nobody does anything. Then we have this situation. I have a number of things. I have a bunch of odds and ends to get into. Can we touch on what John Kirby said yesterday? This was yesterday after we were off air. And John Kirby had made a remark about Afghanistan and about the Biden's withdrawal from Afghanistan. And the way in which he said it is one of the most unbelievable things that I've ever heard. He had said that there was no use. He was doing a presser, his video of it. It's all over the internet. He said that there was no use in responding to a handful of vets on Biden's botched Afghan withdrawal. I'm going to let that sit with you for a minute. I don't know what to say to this. He was asked about this. This is on the anniversary of 9/11. And John Kirby was asked that about military concerns, about a lot of the military veterans who were very upset with the withdrawal. And he said that there's no use in weighing in on veterans' views. There was a Fox News digital press inquiry, and he dismissed these. He said that there was no use in responding. There's a video of him talking about it, but his statement, his written statement was something that he sent to Fox Digital. He had said that there was no use in responding to, or no use, excuse me, in weighing in on a handful of veterans. And he says it was a handful of vets indeed in all of one stripe. That's what he said in a reply all email chain Wednesday afternoon. It apparently, here's the kicker, was only intended for White House staffers. But in Kirby's haste, he included Fox News Digital. So he was triggered by the question. And in a reply, he only meant to reply to White House staffers, but he accidentally included Fox News Digital because he had talked about it yesterday and he kind of like he was gaslighting about it. But and this was after that press conference that the email chain happened. And he had said, obviously, they were sent a press inquiry asking him for comment. That's how it works. So Fox News Digital sent Kirby's office an inquiry. They were asking him for comment on this. And he replied back and accidentally included Fox News Digital. The quote, obviously no use in responding. A handful of vets, indeed, and all of one stripe. Oh, my. Oh, my. And he followed up with the reporter that had sent out the inquiry. Kane's rubbing his hands together like he's going to start a fire.
It's cold in here.
And he wrote, clearly, quote, clearly, I didn't realize you were on the chain. That's the email that he sent. He sent that as a response to after he realized, oh, my gosh, I just sent this out to everybody. He says, clearly, I didn't realize you were on the chain. Like, that makes it better. What? Like, that makes it somehow more acceptable that he said what he said, just and how the manner in which he said it. They would literally make up stuff and attribute it to Trump. About veterans, like literally make up quotes and attribute it to him. This is actually a real thing. And I don't hear anybody. I mean, is this going to come up in the press avail the next time KJP or the next time John Kirby addresses reporters? Are they going to ask him, can you clarify? You know, you don't think that a handful of veterans are important? And it's more than just a handful of veterans, by the way. The White House is so eager to do damage control on the withdrawal from Afghanistan because it is damaging to them. And I think throwing veterans under the bus, if you already threw them in front of terrorists at Abbey Gate is just the wrong. That's not the way you go about it. Not the way you go about it at all. I mean, it's just, it's sad. Now, a few other things to get into, because yesterday we had, I have a handful of stories for you today, but they all tie together in an odd way. And that's what I'm going to spend this hour doing. So yesterday we had the story of the United States Postal Service declaring that there's going to be some problems, guys, coming up in terms of getting for the mail-in ballots. Like there could be some slow goings. They're going to have some issues. And I was talking to Congressman Chip Roy about this yesterday because my concern was that they get billions of dollars in their annual budget, which increases every year. And why are they having any kind of problems with any kind of mail-in ballots in the first place? I mean, granted, that's a whole other discussion as to why we even have those and why we just don't have a national day of voting, but I digress. The election officials were warning that the widespread problems could disrupt voting. It was something that the Associated Press ran with. They said that they were trying to resolve the issues. They have not been able to so far. They said it was clear that these were a pervasive lack of understanding and enforcement of USPS policies amongst its employees, meaning that it wasn't a one-off mistake or a problem with just a specific facility. They said that properly addressed election mail was being returned as undeliverable, and this is a problem that could automatically send voters to inactive status through no fault of their own and create chaos if they show up to cast a ballot. And they said that over the past year, including the just concluded primary season, they've had a lot of problems with these mailed ballots. And they said that they were postmarked on time, but they would be received by local election offices, according to the piece, days after the deadline to be counted. So they're not being included, which makes me wonder how many weren't included in the primary. So the U.S. Postal Service hasn't followed up. Why is there not a press conference about this? So we have this issue. Now, this is how you get people to be conspiracists. Through no fault of their own. I hear something like this. I already don't trust my government. I'm already assuming you are up to some shady shenanigans, no good business. That's immediately what I'm assuming. I don't trust my government as far as I can throw them. And, you know, I'm a woman, so my upper body strength does not match my lower body strength. So that gives you an indication of how far I can throw.
And our government's huge.
Although, sidebar, we should have a whole discussion about how I pitch and throw things. Because my husband says it's the most terrifying quality about me. That the way I throw is dangerous and is going to get someone hurt. Those are his words. Not even kidding. So that's a whole discussion. Anyway, aside from that, I can't throw the government. I don't trust them. I have no faith in me anyway. But I have no faith. I have even less. It's a major deficit of faith in my government. So this makes people suspicious. That makes people incredibly suspicious when they read stories like this from the Associated Press. And so now, with all of this, now have you heard that the Capitol, there's an announcement that law enforcement agencies in and around the Capitol are going to beef up security for election. Hmm. Kane,
yeah.
Perchance do you have some extra tinfoil today? As we roll towards headlines, our partners that help bring you free radio, ReadyWise wants to make sure that you're prepared no matter what happens. You want to have the essentials to keep your family fed in a natural disaster, a power outage, any kind of unexpected storm, because being prepared means you can face challenges with confidence. You can visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana at checkout and get 20% off any regularly priced item. They have their 72-hour food kit. Buy one, get one, $100 value for $50. It includes two boxes of premium survival food, over 11,000 total calories in each kit. And you know where your food's coming from. All food is made with high-quality U.S. ingredients, packed and shipped out of a U.S. plant. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water with a 25-year shelf life. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout to get 20% off any regularly priced item. ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
We have a huge hole in our nation's roof. There should be only one priority for our lawmakers. America is spending $3 billion a day in paying off our own interest. You only need to be voting for candidates who can address this problem.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So this is why I don't like to do cruises. It's not because stuff like this happens. Who's driving the ship? A Carnival cruise ship collides with an iceberg. Guys, I just want to go out and say, I think we saw something like this before. In history, did we not? We totally did. Carnival cruise ship collides with a large piece of ice. That's called an iceberg, sir. The words Titanic moment, that's the first thing everybody thought. They said that it hit an errant piece of drifting ice. Iceberg. And it was sailing in the Tracy Arm Fjord in Alaska, a waterway south of, I just wanted to say fjord, a waterway south of the of Juneau. It's beautiful. Lots of ice. And there's a lot of video of it happening. Apparently, everybody was filming themselves hitting the ice. Of course, because God loves social media. And one of the actual passengers says, quote, if we die, it was damn well worth it. It was a Titanic moment. Why would you say that? But they said that the vessel had to come to a halt for hours to assess the damages. But they found no damage. No damage. And they just went on. They said there was no impact to operations. Let's get it going. But it was, I'm looking at the video, and I got to be honest, it's a wee bit of ice. Like, you could hit it with a jet ski and be like, I think I'm going to be okay, right?
And it was okay.
But technically, Kane, that was an iceberg. Let's be honest about it. Will Ferrell, so I was reading this interview from Variety. Will Ferrell says that dressing up as a woman, he dressed up as Gina Reno, remember that, on SNL? Maybe you don't. I mean, some of us were still in school. But they said that they interviewed him as a part of this movie that he is doing with a friend of his who was a dude and became a woman. And Will Ferrell said he's no longer interested in performing in drag for laughs. And he said that's something I wouldn't choose to do now. The interesting thing, because he's doing it, it's called Will and Harper. It's a movie. Will Harper was one of the writers at SNL. And Will Harper was saying that, yeah, well, you know, you can't cancel everything. And it was funny. I thought it was interesting that his friend actually disagreed with him. We got more in store. Stick with us. Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone network that's out there. They want to save you money. And they want to save you money by not spending all of your hard-earned dollars that you pay for your cell phone bill. They don't want to spend that on things like promoting abortion on demand as birth control, right? And that's a real thing. Or promoting gun control, or promoting a DEI in schools. And that's one of the things that Patriot Mobile's great at. They put momentum behind these issues that you vote to protect. And they also want to save you money. Free activation with code Dana. And right now you can get a free month of service when you use offer code Dana. They offer reliable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're going to get the best service without funding the left. 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They're going to make it easy to switch. Keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is yours. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Free activation using code Dana and get a free month of service using offer code Dana. That's 972-PATRIOT, patriotmobile.com/Dana.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This was a city that had lost something like 20,000 people and had dwindled down to about 60,000 people from a high of 80,000 people. So this was really a place where people were, they felt like we're going to welcoming them. But now there are some residents who say that they really don't like the change. I talked to one man who said that he doesn't like the cultural changes. He doesn't like the idea that there are people here that are changing the racial makeup of this city, saying that the city's sort of lost. He also said that there were, in his mind, claims that there were stray cats missing and sort of had this idea that maybe Haitians were abusing animals. Of course, city officials have said there's no evidence.
Yeah, the Democrats
of that.
Are like, no, don't believe your lying eyes. We've had this conversation yesterday. We played video for you yesterday. There are actual 911 calls where people have been calling in about it. I don't believe that anyone's talking about the culture or the racial makeup. I actually don't believe that, because can I be real honest with you for a moment? First off, that's only things that the left focuses on. Secondly, I am so done with crappy restaurants. Like, bring in some like good food. Bring in, nobody cares. Stop it. Stop pushing this stupid nonsense that people, that's a Democrat thing. Democrats are obsessed and have been since they were Democrats in the South running everything. They've been obsessed with replacement theory. That is a Democrat theory. That is a Democrat fetish. They're real freaks over there. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this first hour. Nobody's talking about that. By the way, so here's Ohio Governor Mike DeWine. He's a moderate and he's wrong, but here's Mike DeWine, audio soundbite 13, saying that that's just the internet that's crazy. So dumb.
Well, Major, this is something that came up on the internet, and the internet can be quite crazy sometimes. And look, the mayor, Mayor Rue of Springfield says, no, there's no truth in that. They have no evidence of that at all. So I think we go with what the mayor says. He knows his city.
They have no evidence of it at all. Kane, what are those police calls that the Federalists got tons of audio clips of?
Of Springfield, Ohio residents complaining of their pets missing and public parks having geese and ducks slaughtered.
By the way, the Attorney General of Ohio hit back at this and said that, and this is Dave Yost, he said that the media is ignoring the evidence surrounding these people's claims about people having, about the wildlife in the parks and their pets and everything else. He had said that people are ignoring this stuff. And he said the media is overlooking these and it's all politicized. That's the reason why they're doing it. He said, quote, there are recorded police calls from witnesses who saw immigrants capturing geese for food in Springfield. This is the Ohio Attorney General. He said citizens, this is a direct quote, citizens testified to city council. These people would be competent witnesses in court. Why does the media find a carefully worded city hall press release better evidence, end quote. And there you have it. I love how the media is like, hey, hurry up. Let's call a Democrat official. Hey, there's not people eating geese there, right? Because that would be crazy, right? Yeah, sure. There's nobody here eating geese. Okay, thanks. Bye. That's it. That's literally all they did. That's all they did. And who are all the people that have been, you know, that they reach out to and they ask about all this? I mean, for Mike DeWine to ignore it and for him to say that this isn't a thing is, I mean, it's unfortunate. I get that he's got issues with Trump. But this actually is true. I mean, this is not an untruth. It's not a lie. I mean, why are people, they're so... Here's the thing, though. We wouldn't have this problem if you actually, I don't know, maybe monitored who came in through the border. I hope Republicans, when they talk about this, they need to not forget to bring it back to the border, because that's why we're having all of these issues. And it's not just this. This is more, sadly, it's more of a lighthearted, you know, issue. But I agree with what the Attorney General said. He had also echoed what's been said by some other Republicans, saying, you know, also that things that are real are the children that are being murdered by people who enter the country illegally who have no right to be here. I mean, he's right about that. And there have been so many stories about this. The dad that was in Texas that had his 11-year-old daughter murdered. I mean, we were just talking about this just the other day, and they had one of the victim advocates that were testifying in front of Congress about this. And, you know, an 11-year-old girl, a guy who's been stalking them, watches and waits for the dad to go to work. And the dad comes home. His daughter had been raped and stuffed into a bag, into a hamper under her bed. I mean, it's sad. 11 years old. So that's happening. That's a real thing. These are all real stories. This isn't just about waterfowl and people's actual 911 calls to police about their pets and actual town halls that were literally scheduled and held for this specific issue. Anyone who's telling you that the internet, Mike DeWine, you're full of it. This isn't, can we just stop for a moment? I am so tired of the tribalism in the Republican Party. It makes me not want to be a Republican. I hate the GOP right now. I blanking hate them because of this, nonsense right here. I don't care if you like Trump or not. I have zero blanks in my pocket to give about it. That has no bearing on the veracity of these claims from these people who held a town hall specifically about it before Trump had ever heard about it, before J.D. Vance had ever heard about it. This was an issue before J.D. Vance ever learned of it and talked about it. Actual 911 calls into law enforcement, town halls scheduled, video evidence, photos. These are real people. There's so many other horrendous things that are out there. You don't even need to make this up. This is a real thing, though. But you know what gets me? And this is what makes me sick. You know, I love animals and all that. But the fact that the media and the left waited until now to get this outraged about it, and that people didn't really pay that much, people paid attention, but there wasn't this much outrage in the press, and you know it, over the issue of the lawlessness entering in at the border and the criminality coming with it. People were, I mean, were people paying attention to 11-year-old Maria Gonzalez being brutally murdered? Jocelyn Ungerie, were they paying attention to these beautiful Americans being murdered by people who were coming into the country illegally? Or did they only pay attention when, oh my gosh, someone's eating a dog, someone's eating a cat? That's going to pull at people's emotional strings. We can't have that. That's a narrative we have to combat. That's the only time that they mobilized. They didn't mobilize to show outrage over children being murdered. But now, that's what makes me sick. Are you kidding me? And like Governor Mike DeWine, I get it that you don't like Trump. Whoopity-doo. There are a lot of Republicans who don't. Whoopity-doo. Get over it. That has nothing to do with this being a true story, which it is. It has no effect on it. You're not hurting Trump by discrediting this very real story. You're hurting the people who came forward in the scheduled town hall to talk about it specifically. You're hurting the people who called 911 to make these reports. You're hurting the people who took photos and video and are saying that this is a legitimate thing because you're calling them liars. All because you dislike the guy at the top of the ticket. It's annoying. And so that is an issue Republican Party's got to deal with. Just something they got to deal with. But I will say, it enrages me that you didn't have this level of outrage from the left and some of you independents and moderates out there. I'm not going to handhold you. You're grown-ass people. If you're going to get offended because I said people haven't paid attention, guess what? It's true. And if people are offended by that, you're too soft for politics. Get the hell out of the country. Go somewhere else where the government makes decisions for you. You're too soft for freedom. But for people to not get outraged until, oh my gosh, they're eating someone's pet cat. Yeah, well, guess what? Someone had a pet daughter that got murdered. Several of them. Brutally. That's a concern. Good heavens. So this is, it's a sad thing. I don't know why you have some of the, I mean, it's a real story. Am I being incorrect in saying that some of the, like Mike DeWine, I don't know why you would discredit the actual evidence. Is it just because he's got a thing with Trump?
It looks like TDS is spread far and wide. But why is it always the whole of government messaging is don't believe what you're seeing, just believe what we're telling you. And it's always been that way. And it's actually a little more egregious now than it's ever been. So I don't see how people can't see this.
Do you want to know how horrible things like the Cultural Revolution in China happened, and in the lead up to the genocide, the Holocaust, how that all happened? Because people were too afraid to speak up and push back against authority. I mean, that's a true story. People were too afraid to speak up and push back. There's a story of a classroom exercise, and we did something like this when I was in eighth grade with my history teacher, where you're taking notes in class, and one kid just gets called out of the blue and sent to the principal's office. You're not taking notes, but everybody knows that the kid's taking notes in class. And kids kind of speak up, but oh, you're going to get in trouble too if you try to defend this. Even though you know the kid was taking notes in class, the teacher still sends him to the principal's office. And this is a lesson that's taught that we had a similar lesson like this when I was in eighth grade. And I know that I was reading something about it a couple of weeks ago. It's always when you're studying the lead up to World War II. And we were reading, there was a story, when you were reading the story about Anne Frank and reading stories about people who had to be hidden and sheltered away from being sent to concentration camps and everything else. I mean, you had people who were trying to hide from authorities, and you had people who were afraid to speak up to authorities. It's easy to see how this stuff happens because people can be cowardly. No one wants to admit it because everyone loves to think that they would rise to the challenge. But I want you to look back and see what happened during lockdown. How many people were so damn fine with bending the knee? How many people didn't speak out when they saw people arrested for trying to open their businesses simply to make a living? How many people didn't speak out when your kids were shuttered away, your own children shuttered away, isolated, not allowed to go out and integrate into the world during one of the most pivotal points in their lives? How many people were fine with compliance? People don't like to see that reflection of themselves, and it indicts everybody. You can see why stuff like this happens. You don't need a classroom exercise like sending a kid to the principal's office for not taking notes when they're taking notes as a way to measure how many other of his students are going to defend him. And then say, see, this is how this is allowed to happen. It's on a micro scale, but the message sticks. So keep that in mind with this stuff, because this is how the government and this is how tyrants perpetuate this. They tell you that what you're seeing isn't real. No, 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 you're not seeing this. And you know what? If you think you're seeing this, there's something wrong with you. You're weird, or you're a conspiracy theorist. No good person wants to be labeled that way. This is why I am viciously vocal about this creeping up in the church. When you have pastors up there, well, if you don't believe in a safe and fair border, there's something wrong with you. It's sinful. Telling good people to not believe their own eyes. Telling good people that it is a moral failing if they believe in law and order. This is how this stuff starts. We have more coming up as we roll towards the conclusion of this first hour, Days of These United States on the way. And as we move, I love Black Rifle Coffee. I will not drink anything else. Like when I travel, I try to actually take some with me. When we went on vacation, I literally took some with me. And because I can't stand, everybody else's coffee is just garbage. When you drink the best coffee out there, you cannot drink anything else. And Black Rifle Coffee has the best beans, the finest coffee beans from award-winning farms worldwide, explosive roast profiles. Now you might think all this fancy sounding stuff might make it super expensive. It's not. It's veteran-owned, veteran-run. These are average, everyday people. They've dedicated their mission to their mission of making great coffee, but they also support veteran and first responder causes. And this is evident, everything in the way that they approach their business, to their bag art, it all pays homage to it. Now, you can join the coffee club, which is what I've done, because I hate running out of coffee and I go through a lot of it. You join the coffee club, you choose what roast you want, your frequency of shipment, and it's sent to your doorstep with free shipping. You're never going to run out of premium coffee. You love America, and that's who they want to help. Make sure that they have, make sure you have the best coffee out there. BlackRifleCoffee.com. Join the coffee club. When you go to the website, make a purchase, you're going to save 20% with code Dana. They also have ground whole bean K-cups, ready to drink, apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. BlackRifleCoffee.com. Order today. Get 20% off using code Dana. Only at BlackRifleCoffee.com.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Trump, I'll give you my presidential hat. Presidential seal on it.
You want an autograph?
Oh, sure, I'll autograph.
Huh?
Yeah.
Do you remember your name?
I don't remember my name. I'm slow.
You're an old fart. You're an old fart.
Yeah, I know, man. I'm an old guy.
And you're an old fart, right?
I know you would know about that.
What?
I'm being old.
Oh, I know.
All right.
I'm a young timer.
You know, he reminds me of the guys I grew up with. There was always one in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, I'm the younger one.
There you go, man. I need that hat.
Want my autograph?
Hell no.
You got my name. Come on.
I ain't going that far.
Yeah. You said you would do a selfie. There he goes.
People were saying that the guy tricked him into doing it. He didn't trick him into doing it. I'm going to say this is a very uncharacteristic for me, Kane. I feel weird. This, oh gosh, I'm saying it. It was a good moment for Biden.
You all right over there?
No.
What?
No.
I mean, could be like you had described, remember when he had the debate with Trump and how it was probably cognitive dissonance that was probably the reason for him looking or appearing as though he was taking the high road. I think this is kind of one of those situations where he was just kind of, eh.
I think, well, he's got the burden off his shoulders of having to compete. And he's just out there having fun. And I got to give you credit, when you're in a room of Trump supporters like that and you're Joe Biden, I mean, it can't be totally easy. And I'm not saying this because he's not a threat anymore. I'm not that nice. I'm saying it because I will give credit where due, as much as I hate doing it. But that was like a genuinely good thing. If there had been more of that Biden, maybe he would never have gotten swapped out. Who knows? But that was actually, it's going to get overlooked by everybody, but that actually is, I don't think he got tricked, and I don't think there was anything malicious in it. He had a great rapport with that guy, and they were real respectful of him, and it was just, pictures with kids wearing Trump shirts.
He's not burdened by the competition anymore. That's a great point.
And he was joking around. They're like, you're going to put it on? He's like, I'm not going to go that far, so you're going to vote for him or something like that. And it was funny. I mean, they had a fun. It's unusual right now. Stick with us. We got second hour on the way. Back in a moment. Good friends of ours over at Hillsdale College, founded in 1844. Hillsdale has made it easy for everybody to learn and take advantage of their resources. You don't have to be a student enrolled and attending at their campus in Southern Michigan. It's a small Christian classical liberal arts college. You don't have to be there to take advantage of all of the fun and free stuff that they have to offer. The pursuit of truth and the defense of liberty have been hallmarks of their founding since 1844, and they achieve this by offering so much stuff up to the community. So, for instance, when you go to Dana 4, and that's F-O-R, forhillsdale.com, they have, you know, their Free Speech Digest and Primus. They also have their Hillsdale College podcast network. So if you're like me and you love deep dives into historical issues, like, for instance, examining the drafting of the Declaration of Independence and what the founders thought of it, you know, towards the end of their lives, or how did the Constitution come to be? How did they come up with the amendments? All of this. These are all fascinating analyses that they offer over at Hillsdale from their authors, visiting lecturers, even their own president, Larry Arnn. And you can access it for free at Dana4FORHillsdale.com. They have tons of stuff to choose from. So choose your new favorite educational podcast today on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network at Dana4FORHillsdale.com.
Later. But right now, I want to talk about her leadership. I was so proud of her. She was presidential. She showed her new way forward, new and forward, her plan to take us forward, command of the issues, eloquence in talking about them, again, strategic in her thinking. I thought she was just spectacular, but her excellence did get under his skin.
She's drunk.
No, she's being a mean girl. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of the second hour. Someone had a touch up. That's all I'm saying. I like how she goes, it was a new way forward, you know, forward in a new way. Is that what that means? Golly, if you hadn't broken down that sentence for me like that, I never would have known. So, what do you mean forward, like a new way forward? Like, it's still the same, burp, right? So what does that mean? It's a new way forward through the muck. Wait, what? That doesn't make any sense. Her whole thing was Kamala Harris got under a skin. Wow, I'm so glad that we don't have to worry about the cost of groceries or energy or just being broke in general or international instability or the deluge at the border. All we got to worry about is whether or not Kamala Harris can be petty and just absent of all substantive issues and be and get under his skin during a debate. That's so great that that's your goal. It's your goal in life to be a troll. That's it.
Not to articulate positions.
Trolling 2024. Guess that's her slogan. Oh, her excellence got under his skin. No, she was just bitchy about the things that she said. I can say that because I'm a woman. But see, women who are bitches will get very upset if a man says that, even though it's accurate. Don't get mad at me about my Portuguese today, okay? Shh. Bear with me. Some days it's harder than others. Her excellence got under his skin. That's what you say when you're trying to pick a fight with somebody, right? That's she's doing that because she's trying to get in there and push those buttons too. You can never let someone push your buttons like that during a debate. You can't. You've got to, I know, believe. Let me give you a case in point. I think everybody remembers the infamous Parkland Town Hall, correct? And I sat on stage next to a chonky bad cop named Scott Israel. And the whole audience hated me. And everybody wanted to just get a dig in. And I had one woman who asked a question and she insulted my intelligence and was saying, you know, if you can answer this even. And I had one of the students on stage because they were, you had, it was Anita Dunn's PR firm, the Knickerbocker firm that was already involved in all of this stuff with Parkland. You know, obviously, you know, it was, everybody was very well coached to perceive me as the enemy. And I had people tell me that, you know, I didn't care about my own kids, that the people there cared about my kids more than I did. And people were saying I was a bad mother and that I was getting people killed and all of this other stuff. That was even a little bit more of a personal attack than maybe what you saw in the debate with Trump-Harris. And as much as you want to respond to that, you can't, especially if you are there to advance a particular message. You cannot take the bait. So when I tell you, believe me, I know it can be difficult. I'm saying I have lived it in front of you on national television. I know that it's difficult, but you got to rise above it. Because engaging in that is not a debate. It's just mud wrestling. You have to advance the message. And honestly, no one, I mean, who is that going to affect when she talks about his rallies or something? Do you think independents, and I need you to remember, that's who that debate was for. The debate wasn't for hardcore Democrats, and it wasn't for Trump's base, because those people already have their minds made up as to whom they're going to vote for. Yes, I agree with you. How on God's green earth are there people on this planet, or particularly in America, that have no idea who they're going to vote for yet? I don't know either. But that debate was for those people. And those people are not going to be moved by, well, no one goes to your rallies. Nobody, that's like something that they're going to roll their eyes over, especially if you don't take the bait. It just makes the accusation look inconsequential and petty. And then it blows back on the person who made it. This is the art of rhetoric. You can't take that. You can't take that bait. And I was looking at some of these surveys. Now, he did better on issue advancement and discussing the issues than she did. And I think, like I said, I thought the debate was a wash. And I think that's why you cannot say that he lost it. I disagree with some of the Republicans who are like, oh, he totally lost the debate. He got his ass kicked. I don't believe that, because he was advancing policy issues. But I thought that she was able to push his buttons, and that's why I can't say she lost either. And on the issue of independence, they have a couple of different, there's a couple of different surveys out where there are, and again, we still haven't seen, I think, the full measure of how each of them did with the debate, but they had like a CBS focus group, and they thought that a lot of these people, and these are people who are independents in battleground states. And they thought that some of her remarks just seemed like stuff Biden had said before. And all of the stuff that she promised that she was going to do, all of these independents were wondering, well, how is it that you haven't done it already? And she never addressed that in this debate, in that debate. She never addressed it. That leaving that open, that is a negative in the minds of independents and moderates. And it was interesting, Reuters actually looked at the perception and the focus between not just media and voters, but between some of the independents and then the more, like I said, hardcore left and then the hardcore like Republican voters. And I'm not discounting the importance of people's bases, but again, everything's decided in the margin. And because things are tied, this group is the most important right now. It is what it is. the people who are in that group trust Trump over the on the economy more than they do Harris. And they felt that their personal financial situation not only was better, but some of them were also saying that they felt that it was better addressed by Trump at the debate. That is important. That might get lost in the back and forth of, well, can you believe she said this? And then he said this, and he did so bad, and she was so bad, and all that. But that's very significant. And as bad as you might think that he did advance policy issue. And that's important to note. Where she did not, but she pressed his buttons. And the undecideds, now here's what's interesting. So what did we talk about now that we're starting to get some of this stuff up? And the reason I'm paying this close attention to it is because of how close the race is, not just nationally, but also in statewide surveys. Remember how we said that ABC did not fact check her as they fact checked Trump, and that the bias was very obvious? That looks like it's going to register a negative against her with independents and undecideds. When people see that sort of bias, and remember, these are people who don't have a foot in either camp. They're just there. And when you don't have a foot in either camp, you're able to more neutrally perceive something. And that's how bad the bias was, in that it bled over into the perspective of independents and moderates who, with a more neutral eye, saw how bad the bias was. That immediately inclines them against her, or they're disinclined to support her. So that's something interesting as well. And Harris was not, she did not provide any clarity. So it's a lack of clarity on policy and the bias that really ultimately, Nancy Pelosi is celebrating this. And I think part of the reason why she's doing this, and note that that was an interview on CNN, they're trying to keep the enthusiasm up about their candidate, and they have to work overtime at this because it's a manufactured race for them. They subbed out someone that no one had voted for. And it's not that no one voted for her. When she was the person to choose, no one voted for her even back in 2020. And when you run in a primary like that and you're in last place and you're barely ranking 1% and you're not even making it on the debate stage in some of these, for some of these debates, you're not even meeting the litmus test, that you usually don't come back from that and run again. Those people who are at the tail end of the primary, where do they go? They always go away. They maybe run right, get a book deal. They might be a contributor for a little bit of a time, and then they go into consulting or whatever, and then they're done. Harris ended up being plastered onto Biden's ticket because Biden had promised James Clyburn that he would have not just a person of color, but he promised the feminazis that he would have, sorry, that's an insult to Nazis, a fourth wave feminist, that he would have maybe a woman or a cis whatever on the ticket. So that's the reason why she got on there. Otherwise, she would not have been the pick, because Biden going into South Carolina, lest you forget, was losing that primary. He was going to lose in 2020, the primary. James Clyburn literally saved his political life. And so Kamala Harris was the return on the investment of Clyburn's influence in that race. And that's the only reason why she was able to get up there. She has been so fortunate in her professional career that it has been nothing but a series of, oh, we're going to save you. We're going to save you, and we're going to advance you. We're going to elevate you here. Her entire career has been that. It hasn't been merit-based. She didn't run for Senate and get Senate because she was such a damn good attorney general. She was an abysmal attorney general. She knew the right people and was there at the right time, and it was fortuitous for her. Same thing with her being the VP pick. I mean, if anything, the attacks that she made against Biden only shored up the chance that she would be VP at some point. So these surveys and looking at this, I don't think that we're going to see this debate put that much of a distance between them. And I know Democrats, again, they're trying to really push the enthusiasm because people aren't enthused about her. They never have been. So they're really trying to push, oh, her excellence, and do these cringe, ridiculous sound bites that don't do anything but tickle the jimmies of their base. That's it. I think moderates and independents kind of cringe. But they have a doubly hard job because they got to keep their base happy and enthused, and their base hates her. And then they got to reach out to the independents and moderates and pretend that she's a moderate when she's not. And then they also have to try to lie that they're not trying to present her as a moderate to their base, who are really Marxists. It is a very difficult dance that they have to do. And only when you have, when you're so multi-faced, are you able to do it like they're doing it. We have more on the way. Did you hear the story about Jon Bon Jovi? Literally filming a video on a bridge in Nashville. Saves a woman from jumping off it. Talks her off the bridge. We got to talk about this because this is just one of those weird stories you got to cover. Burn a gun. It's a non-firearm firearm. And it's always good to have multiple options for self-defense, particularly when you don't have the luxury of being able to carry everywhere you go. And I always tell everybody to carry. I carry all the time. There are times when I'm barred because I have to go somewhere for my job. And if it's private property and I can't carry, that's such as the way that it is. And I have friends that live in Washington, D.C. and live in New York, and they, by nature of their jobs, they have to go into places where they can't always carry. But you've seen the crime rates. They don't want to make themselves statistics. So they want to diversify the options that they have for self-defense, and the Brenna gun is one way to do it. The Brenna SD is their most popular model, and what it does is it shoots chemical irritant projectiles to stop threats. Stun guns, if you compare them, are just, you know, one or two shots. Five rounds with the Brenna gun. There's no waiting period. There's no background check. It's illegal in all 50 states. They send it right to your door. So you should check it out. They have different models. They have different accessories, projectiles, all of that. To learn more about Brenna, B-Y-R-N-A, visit Brenna.com/Dana and get 10% off your purchase. Check out all of your options at Brenna.com/Dana for 10% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up here, we were busy running our mouse during break a lot. Let's see, first up, the return of the, yes, God bless America, the return of the gas-guzzling huge engine supercar, Aston Martin, God love you. I'm just going to say a quick prayer for Aston Martin. I would never be able to afford this car. It's a muscular carbon fiber bodied $429,000 coupe. But guess what? It's oil and gas, baby. You got a V12, 824 horsepower. What? Oh, twin turbocharged 5.2 liter V12 engine. And it's a beast of a car. It's one of the new 6- and 7-figure supercars. Yay! I love a supercar. I want to hear an engine that when it starts, I want it to put hair on your chest, like it just goes, just like it just auto grows, right? You know, like that. I'm going to say something. Don't do it. When the car starts, it should be making muscles bigger and dropping panties. That's all I want to hear from that car. That's all I want to hear from.
Good night, everybody.
There you go. But this show, I'm going to get emails about today. I can't help it. I am so happy about this because you guys know how bad I hate EVs. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Aston Martin. Thank you, supercars.
Ah! That's a nice looking car, too.
That car is, I love that car. If I wasn't married, I'd marry it. Me and that car. We'd be going to JCPenney to get our photos done in a beautiful fall vignette. Me and that car. A lost cat turns up 2,000 miles from home after 3 years. Jeez. I'm not a cat person because I'm allergic, but I get it. This cat went missing from its family's Texas home. It turned up in Massachusetts. It was a skinny stray cat. The Dakin Humane Society found it. And somehow the cat named Shoto, S-H-O-T-O. Nobody knows how it got to Massachusetts, what it experienced or anything, but
I'm just glad Haitians didn't get it.
No joke, right? Because, I mean, going from Texas to Massachusetts means you got to pass near or through Ohio, you know, and it's not, you know, not great for cats up there right now. A Las Vegas store clerk was arrested because he beat a man with a bat over nacho cheese. Now, I'm very particular about my nacho cheese, so let's wait for all the facts, okay? Let's get all the stories in. A Las Vegas convenience store clerk, he got arrested. He beat a man with a bat because he took too much nacho cheese. That is nacho cheese. That's the store's cheese. That was bad. 47-year-old Myron Buell last week was arrested on suspicion of attempted murder and battery with a deadly weapon. They got a call early morning. Somebody was bleeding near an Arco gas station. They found the victim on the sidewalk, his face all bloodied up. He couldn't talk. They had life-threatening injuries. The person who called 911 said the guy was on the victim was on the ground. He saw the victim on the ground while pumping gas, asked the store clerk to call 911. The clerk goes, I'm not calling 911. He better have learned a lesson. And apparently, he went in and took too much cheese from the nacho cheese machine. The guy told the victim to leave and not break things. And the victim said he wouldn't leave without nachos, so the guy pushed him out and hit him with a bat. So was it self-defense? I don't know. But I feel like I still don't know enough to... pass judgment on this. So coming up, John Bon Jovi is saving lives on bridges in Nashville. We got to talk about it coming up. Stick with us.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So for those of you watching the simulcast of the Dana Show, there's a bridge in Nashville. Looks like some stuff's going on. What's going on the bridge in Nashville? If you notice, on the left side of your screen, there's a lady on the other side of the handrail and then a man in black. And that would be John Bon Jovi. You gotta say his name like that or it doesn't count. And he was making a video, filming a video on this bridge in Nashville. And this chick was like on the other side of the bridge. She was gonna jump. She was suicidal. And he goes over and he talks her off the bridge. I got a lot of questions. Like, did they see her go over there? Was she there when they got there? I don't know. But thankfully, everybody's okay. That was, I don't know how many other people can say that they've done that. Right, Kane?
Right.
I mean, that's pretty.
That's really impressive no matter who you are.
He prevented her from jumping off the bridge. I mean, he and his team, that was the pedestrian bridge Tuesday night. He persuaded her. She was on the ledge of the Cumberland River. And he persuaded her to not jump off the bridge and kill herself. That's pretty impressive. He said they were filming a music video. And that's them on the bottom left. You can see that he and his team walked over there. But that's just wild. She was going to jump off the bridge and end her life. And the footage is from a surveillance camera. And he talks her out of it. I want to know what he said. Like, so bad. Don't you?
Right.
Like, if you're John Bon Jovi, what are you saying? What are you saying? It's true.
You say it like he's this Italian
Well,
chef.
He's Italian. Hey.
Hey, it's a John Bon Jovi.
Nashville PD Chief John Drake applauded his actions, saying it takes all of us to help keep each other safe. And he literally, can you imagine? I mean, don't imagine yourself like this, but just, you know, you're jumping off a boobah ready to end it all. John Bon Jovi comes over to you. And I was like, hey, forget about it. Like, come on over here.
Imagine if she was like praying, like asking God for a sign or something. And
then he sends John Bon Jovi
comes over.
Like, no, I don't want all y'all to be going and standing on bridges and being like, God, send me a rock icon. I mean, I like John Bon Jovi, but it's not somebody like I fan over, you know, like he writes catchy songs. I'm not denying the artistry. I mean, I dig it. I just, you know, I kind of tend to lean a little heavier, but you know, I mean, imagine like that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool, right? Like, send me James Hetfield to talk me off the bridge. I don't know. Just, it's pretty interesting. Yeah. He's just there, you know, just on the bridge doing, you know, it's wild. So he said that let's see. I was looking to see like what song it was. They have the group's latest album Forever that dropped on June 7th. And then apparently he's doing, I didn't see like what song it was for, because I don't know. People were asking. But yeah, that's a neat story, isn't it? That's your feel-good story for the day. Your feel-good story, folks. You feel better? Let's get back to the trash. Let's get back to the trash, shall we? So we were talking about polling, talking about some of the surveys and all this stuff with the election. Because as you know, we're actually, a week out from early voting? I got to say... you had Republican pollster Frank Luntz. I don't like him. Like, I really don't. I think I got into it before with him. And I called him a potato or something. I don't remember. It's not something nice. And he deserved it, so I don't feel bad. But he was saying that the Trump campaign was dead. He lost because of his debate performance. I think that's a little much. That's a little bit dramatic, you think? Isn't he kind of a dramatic person anyway, Frank Luntz? He doesn't look it. He looks like a Willy Wonka character. Is that nice to say? I don't care. But that's a little bit ridiculous. There was a very interesting point, though, that was made in a piece. And I'm not saying I necessarily agree with it, but I think it raises an interesting corollary with all of this. It said that I think they both lost. I think it was a wash. But they said that Trump's problem is that he's too online. Have you ever heard of that phrase before? Somebody's too online. Ever heard of it before? Yeah. The stuff that you see online is a fraction of what people care about in real time. The too few people are actually even on social, and even fewer are on X. Like, it's like the low double, not even the low, I think it's single digits of the American population is on X, isn't it? Like, hardly any, people get this idea that everybody's on X or even TikTok, and they're not. And so there's this idea for the people who are that everything that happens in these social media spheres can actually translate to like a real meaningful action, excuse me, and it doesn't. And the issue of being too online, this was, let me give you the example of AOC. AOC is very, very, you know, she's very loud on X, and she goes after people on X, very online. And she doesn't move the needle at all offline. She has millions of followers, doesn't move the needle at all offline. And that's a real phenomenon that happens. People will have really exaggerated followers, or it'll look like they have a major sphere of influence online, but it actually doesn't translate to action offline. And you will have operatives and some lawmakers that will try to tailor their tone and their messaging to online without realizing that's not really effective offline when you're retail politicking. And a lot of the stuff that you see on social media, those are partisans. Think about it. They're partisan people. You care that much to get that active about it, you're partisan. That's not a pejorative. It's just an observation. And so there's this gap between the reality of what's happening in what we call meat space and then the fantasy that's on social media. And if you believe and are too much into and are tailoring your message too much for social media, that means you're kind of too online. It's not resonating in the on the meat space world. It's not resonating. And I think that that's kind of one of the problems that he does have. And I think when he took the bait, he went from being focused and being and appealing to, again, everything's decided in the margins, appealing to the margins, to he switched and you could see it. He just dialed it and became too online in his response. I do think that that might be a legitimate concern. And that is a concern that campaigns have to deal with, especially national candidates. You got to deal with this. You don't want to be too online because then you're alienating the vast majority of voters who are not online. And the stuff that you see on social media isn't resonating. It doesn't resonate with people who are not on social media, right? I mean, you guys know this. It's like football memes don't resonate with me because I don't follow football. Just saying. So I think that that's a legitimate kind of concern with some of this stuff. And what we're going to see how much that plays into this, how much as we get some of the polling done and see if there's any kind of a bounce at all. But I don't see there being a super huge gap because of this. I don't see Kamala Harris getting, she's not going to get a major bounce from this. This is not going to happen. Not going to happen at all. So we'll see. I wanted to look at some of the other polling, the top battlegrounds, looking at some of the RCP averages. The top battlegrounds, the spread generally has Harris at 0.2. So they're tied, essentially. It's a 0.2 increase over Trump in some of the top battlegrounds. Battlegrounds are being Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. You got North Carolina, Georgia. And in all of them, they're tied. the two biggest leads, and remember, on average, margin of error is about 3 points. You have Harris in Wisconsin plus 1.8, and then you've got Trump in Arizona plus 1.6. That's it. Everything else is literally like point something. It's insanely close. And that's why it was so important for this debate not to be a wash. Because now it's like, what's the point? What was that even the point of the debate? I don't know. But neither of them are going to get a major bounce from this. And they needed to, both of them needed to have some distance between the other. So what that does now, Trump and his surrogates are going to have to go back to trying to, again, keep redefining her as Kamala versus Kamala. Kamala now, 24 versus Kamala then, 20. That's how they're going to have to do this. And that's going to be a lot harder for them to do. But it is super close. You got a number of toss-ups. And it all depends. He's got to be disciplined. I don't think there's going to be any other debates. Do you think there'll be another debate, Kane? I can't see. I know Fox News put the invite out there. There's no way in hell.
I know that there was something I saw yesterday. Someone asked Trump, and he had a response on Kamala calling for a second debate. And I think it sort of landed in the realm of she clearly didn't think she did the job she wanted to do in that first debate, which is the only reason why she would ask for a second debate. But I don't know. I mean,
do you know what I think would do a lot to change the tone of all of this and to maybe inject some fuel into at least even his campaigning? Trump should go to Springfield, Ohio. He should go visit an animal shelter there too while he's there. That would be very interesting. He should. He should go, and they should have arranged for him to meet some of the residents that had called in, had called the police, some of the residents that spoke at the town hall. And they could talk about their concerns at the border. And then, you know, maybe go to where some of these places where these crimes, I think they need to be highlighted.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Mm-hmm. All right. So first up, Florida Man escapades. I always am amused whenever I read the words bicycle chase. A Florida man denies the drugs are his after a bicycle chase, says the sheriff's office. I'm going to go ahead and disagree with him on this one. Now, don't come at me, Florida people. I'm going to say this wrong. Weeky Wetchy? Is that correct?
I don't know.
W-E-E-K-I-W-A-C-H-E-E?
That sounds right.
Weeky Wetchy. I'm just saying. That sounds like a fun place to be. A man is accused of drug possession and leading deputies on a bicycle chase in Central Florida late Sunday night. Hernando County Sheriff's Office said around 11:30 p.m. they were patrolling Cortez Boulevard, and a deputy noticed a man riding a bicycle, and it was missing a front light, headed westbound on the eastbound lanes of Cortez Boulevard. The deputy attempted a traffic stop, but the bicyclist quickly rode behind the Weeky Wetchy Village Plaza. And even with the emergency lights flashing, the bicyclist continued around the plaza at a bicyclist pace, as one would imagine. The sheriff's office said that eventually the bicyclist rode through a sidewalk area to the parking lot of a Motel 6. And at that point, deputies exited their patrol vehicle and began chasing him on foot. They caught up to him in the nearby Quality Inn parking lot. The suspect, identified as Christopher Clay, had a blue fanny pack. Sorry, it's called a belt bag now. And inside the bag, sheriff's office said that a rubber container with a crystal-like substance was found, and it tested positive for meth. And then they found glass pipes, meth residue, prescription bottles with labels scratched off, and then they were not controlled substances, and their names I can't pronounce. Clay told deputies that he fled because he did not want to go to jail for the missing light on his bicycle. When questioned about the illegal drugs, he said, "No. None of these are mine. They were placed in my belongings." They were the only things in his fanny pack. You're just going to put on a fanny pack of drugs? What? His bond's at $7,500. He's got a lot of charges. So stupid. A Florida man was arrested for keeping two gators in his backyard pool.
That's not legal?
Now, I love if nature puts them in a pond and it's your pond, they're yours. It's okay, but you can't touch them. But if you move them to the pool, heaven forbid. All right, I'm kidding. I'm slightly. A Central Florida man was arrested because he kept alligators in his pool. He denied when Florida Fish and Wildlife asked him questions about it. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. What? Alligators where? And then he said, yes, okay, those are my two alligators in my pool. During the investigation, they also discovered a recently killed alligator on the property with freshwater slider turtles. So he's got two counts of possession of an alligator, which is an actual charge in Florida. One count of unlawful take, one count of unlawful take of slider turtles. And we don't know about the size of the alligators or the man's identity. That's crazy. They can get you, but you can't get them. Right. Just saying. And let's see. Oh, we got a story about the villages. It's a story from the villages.
The villages.
I always love it when I hear when I see the word villager in these stories, because I think of the NPCs in Minecraft. Meh. A Corvette owner got in trouble. A Florida man was arrested for attacking a Corvette owner who revved his engine at him. What? I'm sorry, what? Don't rev up your engine at somebody, apparently, because you could get attacked. I don't know. That's what happened in the villages in Summerfield, Florida, Marion County Sheriff's. So there's a feud between a 72-year-old Corvette driver and the young whippersnapper, 63-year-old Kenneth Lewicki. The Corvette driver said that he was revving up his engine as a brag as he passed by the home of Lewicki on Sunday afternoon. 6'5", 290-pound Lewicki didn't like that much. So he drove to the Corvette owner's home and confronted him and knocked him over onto his motorcycle. And the victim said he had multiple surgeries in his back. He was worried the rods were shifted out of alignment, so he went to the hospital by ambulance. Lewicki told authorities that the Corvette owner had been harassing him and his wife, revving the engine and all that stuff. So he's got a count of battery, and he's was released from Marion County Jail, $2,500 bond. I mean, I get it. I mean, I guess it could be. Wouldn't you, like, if it's harassment, though, take it to the police. Don't go beat the guy up on his property. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
Do you think that if there were 20,000 Scandinavians that had been sent to Springfield, people would be saying that they're eating cats and geese?
I'm not going to answer for him, for his memes or anything else. But I am.
But I'm asking you. Do you think that conspiracy is based on racism?
Because I'm not going to answer. I don't know.
So, this was a fight with what's her face from the Spew, and she gets Scott Jennings.
Anna Navarro.
Yeah, I know her name was. I just didn't. If you say her name, then like the wild Karen will appear. Don't do it. He was saying she was telling him she was trying to make it an issue of race. And she was like, do you think if there were 20,000 Scandinavians that were sent to Springfield, people would be saying that they're eating cats and dogs and geese? If they were eating cats and dogs and geese, lunchbox, then yes, people would say that. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour.
Scandinavians
don't eat. Dana Lash with you.
They don't eat pets.
No, they eat. Don't get mad at me, Scandinavians. They bury like fish in the ground and then they eat it like a week later.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
You'd have that and you'd have
they actually eat what cats eat.
Chocolate milk and you'd have the weird salted fish. No, that's the Swiss people, sorry.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
And reindeer. Ricola. Yeah, that's no, I can do that and they're not offended. You know why? Because they're fun.
Right.
Right? Stop. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. The top of this third hour, Channel 347 DirecTV. The chat's at Rumble. Sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. She was saying, I don't think she really thought that through. She was, by the way, if Scandinavians were going to Ohio and they did all those things, then yeah, people would be saying it. It has nothing to do with race. Stop making, I get it that you wacko freaks have an obsession and a fetish with race, but stop it. Good night. Why? It's like the race card always comes out when no one can think, right?
Which is why we always see.
Well, if they were Scandinavian, would you say the same thing? I don't know. Tons of fun. If they were eating cats and dogs, then maybe. Yeah, probably. Yeah, absolutely. People would be. That's so stupid. By the way, Lorraine had found this story over at New York Post. You know, Mike DeWine said that this is just something crazy on the Webernets. Just a crazy, actually, we got this, right? This, where's that audio? Can you hit that audio for me again? I'm sorry. That's audio soundbite like 11D per trillion million and one.
13.
Oh, it's just 13. It's early up in the list. Yeah, just go ahead and hit me with
this.
Well,
Major, this is something that came up on the internet, and the internet can be quite crazy sometimes. And look, the mayor, Mayor Rue of Springfield says, no, there's no truth in that. They have no evidence of that at all. So I think we go with what the mayor says. He knows his city.
Yeah, except Mike DeWine sending $2.5 million to Springfield, Ohio. I mean, it's a crazy story on the internet. Send $2.5 million to Springfield. And send some law enforcement, extra law enforcement. It's just a crazy thing on the internet. Make sure you send that extra law enforcement. He's sending all of millions of dollars in healthcare resources and all kinds of new law enforcement to Springfield. But, you know, I thought it was just a crazy thing that was on the internet. That's happening there, right? You've had so far the temporary protected status program under which 15,000 people illegally here from Haiti have arrived in the city. It's about 59,000 since 2020 alone. And they had the news conference about it before the debate. So it's a real thing. Remember, they had an actual town hall to talk about this. But they're having such a problem with all of this that they're having to add more resources to help with the law and order that is apparently having lots of trouble in Springfield. But I thought that it was just a crazy thing on the internet. It's so weird about that. I also thought, like, you know, in Aurora, Colorado, one of our listeners reminded us, you know how there wasn't any of the that Venezuelan gang, that the TDA gang, it wasn't in. They weren't there. They're not in Aurora, right? How officials were trying to say that was all blown up and the gang's not really there. Oh, well, here's the Aurora Police Department literally 23 hours ago investigating reports of the Venezuelan prison gang living in Aurora and committing acts of violence against the actual, like, Americans who immigrated here legally, committing acts of violence against them. Huh. Well, looky at that. That's kind of interesting. They're trying to tell you that none of this stuff exists, but it does. I mean, this is wild. So they're existing. It exists. These are real issues. They're having to respond to them using real resources. But you're the one who's made fun of if you acknowledge what people who are living there are talking about, right? Is that how it works? Jeez. I'm telling you. Speaking of immigration, have you seen what's been happening in Germany? So I saw today, they've only had 13 knife attacks today. It's not even 7 o'clock apparently there, but they have a live knife attack tracker in Germany. It's a big issue. They have different attacks literally every single day, and they keep, you know, they got to ban guns is what they need to do. They really need to ban guns in Germany. And Germany has recently notified the European Union that they're bringing in new controls on all of their land borders due to what they describe as, quote, the continuing burden of Islamist terrorism and relentless, when I say migration, I don't mean legal migration. I mean the boats coming from North Africa and then everybody filtering up through Germany. That's what I'm talking about. That's their interior minister. He informed the EU of that. Their interior minister informed the EU of that this week. And then Nancy Faeser of the Social Democrat Party finally accepted, and this is per Daily Mail, that Germany has no choice but to enforce proper border controls if they have any hope of coping with the staggering amount of what they described as entirely unauthorized entries. And so now Bild, their newspaper, says that the new controls that Germany is imposing, they're going to start seeing really strict restrictions and rejections of people trying to illegally enter at their borders. And it's enraged the EU. The EU is enraged. They are livid. So this is going to be a huge fight with them. It's interesting because this was a complete U-turn from the SPD, Nancy Faeser, who's the head of that far-leaning, left-leaning party, because just last month, she refused to implement these controls on their land borders. Germany, it's gotten so bad that they tell women, especially in some of the more urban areas in the big cities, don't, you can't walk around at like night, you know, it's not safe. And there have been attacks at like the, because you have the Christmas markets that pop up as you get closer towards the holidays. And a lot of people like to go, they got a lot of tourism that goes through there. And they tell women, like, it's not safe for you to walk around at night because women are being attacked. And now there's all these knife attacks. They've been protesting over it. So far, because just last month they said that they're not going to extend these controls. Now they're going to have to. And so far they're turning away thousands of people. Because they've seen almost like a triple increase in what they call first time asylum requests. That's insane. So they've been having these meetings about this. This whole story is enraging Europe, the EU, the European Union. In fact, it was described as fury, because neighboring countries say that they are not going to take back, because you have these people that are coming up through, you know, coming in from, you know, normally like Northern Africa and going across the Med and then going through all these other countries. And they allow these people to pass through their countries to get to Germany. So now these neighboring countries that were allowing these people to immigrate illegally through their land to get to Germany, they said that they're not taking them back if they're rejected. They will not allow them to come back. And they said that Berlin's plan to stop, quote unquote, asylum seekers and Islamist terror was a, quote, threat to free movement. This is what the EU is doing over there. Now you can see why. You see why Britain left it. It's a mess. You can see why they're having this huge fight with conservative leading countries like Italy, and why some of these other conservative parties in these other European nations are starting to gain a lot more popularity and even some seats, because this is what they're dealing with. The EU loses its mind if you try to literally, you try to protect your own citizens and actually demand lawful entry. This is crazy. So they said these harsh restrictions, they start in a couple of days. They start in 4 days, the new restrictions for Germany. And it's going to allow, they said, authorities to reject more people directly at the border. And now Poland, the Czech Republic, Switzerland are really upset. Everybody that they border with is upset, especially because the EU just wanted people to be able to move freely through each of the European Union nations. And the EU keeps going, oh, well, we're going to have more restrictive border entry. No, they're not. They haven't at all. So they said that they're furious with Germany because they're going to reject these illegal immigrants, which means that they're going to be rejected back to these neighboring states through which they were going, to get to Germany. And they said Austria's foreign minister, Gerhard Karner, told Bild, Germany's newspaper, quote, I have directed the head of the federal police to not allow any returns. Austria will not accept any persons rejected from Germany. Well, tough beans. Germany doesn't, you can't force them to accept them. The Czech press said that the new border policies are a threat to the Schengen Agreement. Now, the Schengen Agreement is an agreement through a lot of these EU nations where they have an agreement on traveling and identification and documentation, etc. And that matters if you're a U.S. citizen and you're traveling over to these countries where you have a Schengen agreement about, you know, your documentation and passport and all that stuff. But they want this like free movement within Europe. Well, guess what? That it's allowed to happen. A massive, massive, massive increase in Islamist terror. Cities that are being overtaken by complete lawless entry and people who have no documentation that have immigrated illegally. Some come from criminal backgrounds. You've seen an increase in rapes, stabbings. I mean, for crying out loud, like I just started this segment with, Germany literally has a live knife tracker website because there are so many of these attacks now. And so they're coming up, if they're not coming up through the Mediterranean, they're coming up through the Balkan route. So you have some Middle Eastern and North African people who want to immigrate illegally, they're coming up through the Balkans or they're coming up through the Mediterranean, which is a lot. It's just as dangerous. I mean, they both have different levels of danger. But I don't know. I think Germany's learning the lesson from Angela Merkel, who, remember, she famously declared back in 2015 that, quote, Islam is not a source of terrorism, and then opened up the country's borders. And now look where they're at. This is what they're dealing with. When one country decides to enforce restrictions at the border, the entire EU loses its mind. insane. And they're going to try to bully them with the full weight, not just of international press, but all of these different nations, their press, their officials, everything. It's a extortion racket. The EU is nothing but a bunch of extortionists.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a Macomb County man strapped propane tanks to a car in a bomb hoax to prevent it from being repossessed. Oh my goodness. This is in Michigan. Police arrested this guy. They think that he created this hoax because he didn't want his car to be repossessed. And this is just not the way you do it, my man. This guy who ended up... this is all freezing. This guy ended up doing this. He did not, because he was behind in payments, et cetera, which apparently a lot of people are. He was like, no, they're not going to come and take my car. So he strapped on these two propane tanks to it with the objective of blowing it up. If they did do it, but he called in this false bomb threat. So I ended up losing my stuff here. So if you have it, if you could throw it in there for me. Because the thing that I have, my docs, is down. What do we have? What else do we have here? I hate technology sometimes. So we have, oh, here, I think I got it back up. All right. So we also have, this is, oh my gosh. So a marketing blurb written by Gen Z staff goes viral. According to The Guardian, which is a far left newspaper. It's a TikTok video starring deadpan Northumberland Zoo directors and animals with main character energy. And it's just these like older people saying brat, slay, ick, and things like that, but like very straight face, like slay. And that is so brat. It's like boomers saying the word. It's funny. It's funny though. That's the thing. That's why. It's a funny video. It's lighthearted. You can see some of it there in the simulcast. A woman breaks into a James Bay home, takes a shower, a bath, and a shower. She must have been super dirty before she was arrested. Police ended up taking her into custody. She was in the upstairs bathroom. She refused to leave. She forced her way into this couple's home. And the guy was gardening, and the woman got in and began rambling about the military to his wife on the front porch, and they ended up having to call the police. Thankfully, everybody's okay, but she was taken into custody. Colorado man is found dead in the Grand Canyon, making the seventh death in the park since the end of July. Good night. That's terrifying. Since the end of July, the seventh death in the park. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Back in a moment.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everyone is talking about the death of ducks and cats in this town, but I'd like to talk about the death of one very special person, my mother-in-law, Kathy Heaton. On December 1st, I received a phone call that changed my life forever. She was collecting her trash can from her driveway when a car struck and killed her instantly. A task she had done over 2,000 times, spanning four decades in Springfield. That morning, though, a Haitian immigrant was allegedly driving recklessly when he struck and killed her. I say allegedly because to this day, there's been no punishment, not even for the expired tags on the vehicle he was driving.
This is a resident from Springfield, Ohio, where you have Democrats and certain moderate Republicans who are tribal who insist that this isn't happening in Ohio. It's not happening in Springfield. This is at that town hall where they're talking about these issues because of the deluge of people who have come to Ohio, particularly their town, illegally. And overwhelming majority are Haitian, just like you have the issue with people who came in illegally from Venezuela in Aurora, Colorado. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you at the bottom of this third hour. And I think she made a very good point. And this is one that I am honestly, guys, I am shocked that there wasn't any outrage. There wasn't even any pushback on the discussion of criminality from illegal immigrants until people started talking about dogs and cats and then ducks and geese and all the animals at the park. And then I guess that the left thought that that was more of a sore point to react to than the people who are losing their lives and being targeted and victimized. I'm just floored by this. I'm floored by it. Do you know how many people know about the story in Springfield now? And it's, I mean, I just am shocked. Well, my gosh, we were, what was the thing you were playing earlier, Kane?
Which one?
The song.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing dances on TikTok about it. And this is like some of the right that's doing it. But then there's a song that was created from Trump, his soundbite at the debate about dogs and cats. I get it that it's trolling the left, but there's also a serious aspect to this too. It's all for nothing if people aren't going to be forced to pay attention to the lives that are lost. The song, though, is crazy. Is this the one? There's the one on TikTok that blows. It's not very good.
They're eating the dogs, the people that
this
came
the
in. They're eating the cats. They're eating,
it's like a remix.
They're eating the pets.
Don't get me YouTube because it's not licensed.
That live there.
Yeah.
And this is what's happening in our country, and it's a shame.
It's actually not bad, and I'm not really into electronica. It's actually not bad. Like, I can see DJ Fun Uncle spinning this.
They're eating the dogs.
Same. Yeah, people are just chilling, having fun with it. No, keep it
They're
going.
They're eating
people.
The dogs.
Oh! I mean, what he said wasn't wrong.
And this is
same. But I will add, it's all for nothing if people aren't going to bring it to the conclusion it needs to go to, that this is, yes, animals, but also people. This is what happens with the lawless open border. And the reason the left is pushing back so much on it is for two reasons. First, it's ridiculous. It's such an absurd story that it pierces through people's apathy. If it's not in your town, then you're not paying attention to it, right? Oh, it's not in your town. You can't imagine it happening. But what? Somebody's eating a cat in somebody's driveway? The hell? What in the world? It's a real story. Like, what is this? Somebody's like hunting for ducks in their public park? What? Yeah, it's a real story. And residents, they had a town hall again specifically for this. It pierced through the apathy of people who are not Ohioans. And now everyone's like, that's wild enough. It's absurd enough that we're paying attention. And it's kind of sad that that's what arrests national attention. I mean, you would think, and there have been stories like this, not just in Ohio, all over, of people who are being victimized. And sadly, it's there are Americans who immigrated here legally and people being victimized and lives being lost. You would think that that's crazy enough. But apparently this, for the left at least, is what does it. And this is what does it to go viral on social media. I'm fine with it so long as it takes us back to the original point, which is this is all due to a lawless border. But see, that's what the left doesn't want. They don't want that. So they need to stop it here and make fun of you for acknowledging that it's real. Make fun of you for acknowledging its existence and make fun of you for acting like, oh my gosh, people are eating dogs and it's crazy. Like Kamala Harris with her mean girl poses on the debate stage. That was ridiculous. But it's true. It's true. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to have another debate. Although Fox said that they were thinking about it. Audio Soundbite 9, J.D. Vance was asked about this. This was his response.
So I think the president had a great night. It's ultimately up to him. Obviously, he likes these debates and he's good at them. So I wouldn't be surprised if he wants to step back in the ring, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't.
Now she knows how to push his buttons. But if he doesn't react to it, though, then she's powerless. That's all she has. I told you that before the debate. That's all she has. So we're talking about, we don't have any really, I think, real measure of how this is affecting the polls. It's one of the things that we were talking about in all of this. People keep saying, oh, he's, you know, I don't think it's going to change it. I really don't think it's going to change anything. What was the story that you put in, Kane? And I think you had it because we were talking about first the U.S. Postal Service. And then there's this story.
Yeah, Department of Homeland Security just designated January 6, 2025 as a special national security event or a national special security event. So that means they'll be armed and guarded starting New Year.
Like, what January do you mean? 1st. Who's armed and guarded?
So according to the story, and I put this here in, and it's a Politico article, by the way. And according to them, it says here, Congress to get Super Bowl-level protection on January 6, 2025. And
you won't. You're not allowed to protect yourself.
No. It's a national special security event, an acknowledgement as they tally the votes. They want to have armed security there, you know, in anticipation, I guess.
The designation, they say, empowers Secret Service to lead security planning and provide extensive resources. Why didn't they have this response after Trump won in 2016 during the inauguration when there was literally rioting in multiple streets and cars were being burned and, you know, businesses were being torched and all of that? That's not even the lead up to them burning the church, trying to set the church on fire near the White House. This was just the night of the inauguration. That was crazy. I mean, there were rideshare people who were terrified of like going downtown to D.C. because people, their cars were getting torched. I mean, you could see the smoke. You know, they had aerial photos where you and video where you could see the smoke from different fires rising up from D.C. I mean, it's kind of wild that they didn't know that they didn't have this response to something like that.
Well, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, she refused. She originally requested the National Guard and then later refused it when Trump approved it. And then Nancy Pelosi has the gall to say what's in cut seven, to me is absolutely absurd.
Yeah, play this because this is she's on video and her daughter's the documentary that her daughter did. And Kane's got theories about this. Where they had the cameras there for like J6 stuff and she was in the car. And I think that Kane thinks that they did it so they could have like some some deniability, plausible deniability.
Right. Or at least act like they do.
Yeah. This is Audio Soundbite 7. Listen.
What is so offensive to me is that there's some really good Republicans out there who put up with his saying he never offered any National Guard.
That's a lie.
Even Mitch McConnell joined us in our bipartisan urgent, please send them. Please send the National Guard. And his Secretary of the Army, Secretary of Defense, oh, it takes a lot of time. And he never did until finally he did hours later. More people injured, some people then subsequent to that dying.
I mean, she took responsibility in the video where she, you know, she was asked. Capitol Police and Bowser only made the request for National. They finally made the lawful request for the National Guard. There was this great piece. Where is it? Is it Kash Patel was writing because he was actually there. He was in the chain of command for all of this stuff. And the deployment of the National Guard, you have to, the presidential authorization. Trump already gave that. He gave that. What was it like on January 3rd or January 4th?
The memo with details on what, you know, the National Guard could and could not do legally in D.C. is the memo they put out on the 4th of January after
because
the approval on the
3rd. Because he had a copy of the memo.
Yeah, so I just put the memo in there, the copy of that.
What's the date on that?
The 4th of January.
Okay, so that's January 4th. That was the authorization that Trump gave days prior to January 6th. And you also had to have D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser sign off on it. And then also the Capitol Police, who report to the Speaker of the House, had to also sign off on it. And the whole, the one of the questions that I wish that they would have addressed when they were having their Q&A is, why didn't Pelosi do it? Because, I mean, you work with Capitol Police. Why was that not given? And then the thing from January 5th. So there was the thing from I'm pulling this up. The statement from January 5th, where they were talking about the Capitol Police and everything else. They said that they are not requesting other federal law enforcement personnel. They discourage additional deployment without immediate notification to blah, blah, blah. That was what Bowser sent on the 5th of January.
Which was less than a week from her original request for the National Guard at the end of December 2020.
So I'm trying to figure out, Trump did what he was supposed to do in order to have the guard there, but it also requires the authorization from two other entities who were dragging their feet on it. How was that? I'm trying to figure out, how was that his responsibility? I mean, if it was, I would criticize him for it. Heaven knows I don't hold my tongue, but that's stupid. And my litigating this on this program, this is what I want people who get really tribal either way on the right to remember. At some point, you have to compartmentalize. And it's not about Trump. It's about the abuse of power and the refusal of the left to do their due diligence and then hold you responsible later for their refusal, malicious refusal, to do their due diligence. Does that make sense? Because this stopped being about Trump a long time ago. And pointing that out, you're not rushing to his defense. You're not doing any of that. At some point, this includes defending yourself, really. Ken, you were going to say something.
This is worse than them just refusing to do their job. This was literally, it looks like a trap. They had requested National Guard, then it was approved, and then they declined it, and then they had the issue. They wanted a large issue so that they could essentially fully impeach Trump for the violence created on January 6th. The violence that could have been prevented with a show of force if they continued with the original request of having the National
Guard. Well, that was from the former Capitol police chief, Stephen Sund, he resigned after the riot, and he, according to him, Pelosi, they had turned down repeated requests for preemptive deployment, not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, not five times, but six times leading up to the day of the riot. Six times they rejected it. That was on the House leadership. That was Nancy Pelosi who rejected that. Six times. So why are they? That's a lie. They are lying to you and gaslighting you right now. They are propagandizing you to influence you going into November.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Our norms are a promise that we will fiercely protect the independence of this department from political interference in our criminal investigations. Our norms are a promise that we will not allow this department to be used as a political weapon. And our norms are a promise that we will not allow
this nation. They don't want this to be... this is A.G. Garland. Law enforcement must never be treated as an apparatus for politics. Okay, then explain to me the lawsuit that's going on that the DOJ has enacted against my school board in our area over elections in which we parents took over the school board. And they accused us of being astroturfed because the left was astroturfed. They had out-of-state money coming in. These were just parents that organized and fought back and won elections. And it was a landslide, three separate elections, landslide victories. And the DOJ has been trying to find a toehold to get it. Now they want to undo the elections. They sent the FBI to harass parents at school board meetings across the country. They had the FBI tag parents as domestic terrorists in their database as a surveillance tool. So don't tell me that you're not using law enforcement as an apparatus for politics, because you have been this entire time. This guy's a weasel. All right, today in stupidity, Kane.
All right, it's going to be Alejandro Mayorkas.
Your favorite.
I think he's more evil than stupid. But this is him in Cut 14-1, and he's talking about, it's the same government message we were talking about earlier in the show. Mm-hmm. Don't believe what you see and experience for yourselves. Believe what we say. Listen to what he said.
Crime is down in this country, and the demonization of migrants is not consistent with our country's values.
When you hear a charge said illegal immigration and migrant crime is one of the greatest threats to the country today, you say what?
That is false.
Oh, my Lord. So, yeah, while they pretend nothing's wrong.
Hundreds of thousands of kids.
This administration will continue to do nothing.
On his watch. Folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. I will be back behind the mic with you tomorrow to finish out the week. Have a great night.